on the second row.
All right. I got a little children's message, and I've got a helper today. This is SJ. He's a little scared. There's a lot of you. Do you guys have dogs at home?
Me too.
Will they do tricks for a treat?
No.
No?
Our dog is the one. Black and
sheep,
we call her Shadow.
Oh. Well, I've got little SJ, and he'll do tricks for treats. And sometimes that's how we are with God, aren't we? We'll pray, we'll ask God for things just for a treat. But that's not all that God is it? He wants a relationship with us, doesn't he? Yep. Now, I'm going to have Maddie come up here. We'll see. Does he get excited? Now see, that's how God acts when we come back to him and when we talk to him. He gets excited. He just wants to have a relationship with us, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And then he's not doing any tricks, is he? Now I got another one for you. Where's his hat? I brought a little hat for him. And he doesn't like it. But it makes him look cute, doesn't it? But sometimes God has us do things that we don't want to do, but that's just the plan that he has for us. And we have to have a good attitude about it and just be thankful that we can follow God's plan and just give him thanks even in times that we don't want to, right? All right, if you guys will pray with me here, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for all the little kids you brought to service today, Lord. And we're thankful that you always love us, Lord, even in times that we may stray or not want to follow your plan, Lord. We're just thankful that you give us the opportunity to come back, Lord. And you're always excited. And if you had a tail, Lord, I think you'd be wagging it and thankful that we're coming back to you. And I just ask that you would bless these kids' lives, Lord, and allow this message to touch their hearts. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you guys will go over there, we've got a little bag of candy.
All right, was that a lesson on spiritual dyslexia? Like God and dog and... I know, if you gave more, you get better jokes. All right. Who's ready for God's Word this morning? Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 7, please. Mark chapter 7. When I learned of the theme of Farmer's Day, which is dog, depend on God... You know, we had just kind of come off of a first installment of the Jesus series, but because there's a story within the life of Jesus that involves the theme of a dog, I just figured we would borrow from that series and just present that message here this morning. So I want to entitle the message, A Dogged Determination. All right? A Dogged Determination. Snapshots of the Savior. A Dogged Determination. So Mark chapter 7, please. And I'm going to fill out all the historical ins and outs of this, the meaning of these things, all right, so that we can have a better appreciation of what is happening here. All right, verse 24, Mark chapter 7. And from there Jesus arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little what? Dogs." And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter." And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. All right. So first things first. All right. Jesus went to Gentile territory. Listen carefully. Jesus did not go there to expand his ministry. He went there to try to get some R&R, some rest and relaxation. This incident happened on the tail end of what John describes in the sixth chapter of his gospel, when the people were trying to force Jesus to become what? To become earthly king, right? Isn't that amazing that Jesus was faced with politics in his day and age? Huh? Wasn't it Jesus who said in Matthew, I want to say it's Matthew chapter 15, that he said, beware of the leaven beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, right? And of King Herod. What's he saying there? Listen carefully, church family. Be aware of the yeast, and yeast in the Bible is not a good thing. Be aware of the yeast of man-made religion, and number two, politics. Some of you, you just lost me already, brother. We voted for you because we thought you were a Trumper. All right, let's move on. We keep it real here, guys. Just enjoy yourself. We'll pop you some popcorn next time. So Jesus is wanting to get away from all that scene. We all know that Jesus did not come to be an earthly king, right? He came to be the king of the world, the king of kings and the lord of lords. And so he's departing into this area that is known as Canaan land. All right, remember the Canaanites? These were, we got off of a series, what, 3-4 months ago on giants? All those 7 and 9 giants, when you include the other two tribes of giants, they were all Canaanite giants. So these Canaanite people, listen, were very cursed people. They were a curse. They lived under the curse by God, because God said, I want you, my chosen race, the Jews, to go and take possession of their land. I'm giving you their land. They are not the rightful heirs of that land. You, my people, are. So understand, when you read the words, a Canaanite woman, number one, she's a Canaanite. She has one strike against her. Number two, she's a woman. That's two strikes against her. Number three, she's a Jew. She's not a Jew, rather. That's three strikes against her. And so Jesus is there to relax, and somebody hears, and he's trying to stay hidden. He's trying to keep it on the low, his presence there on the low. And he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. Verse 25, for a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. Now listen carefully, church family. This is a Syrophoenician woman. Let me explain that term, Syrophoenician. Roman general Ptolemy, years before this, he's the one that annexed Phoenicia with Syria, and that's how people were considered to be Syrophoenicians in that part of the world. So this person, listen carefully, was an outsider, had no covenant rights, had no right to approach God. Number two, it's got to be very clear in our minds that she had no right to approach Jesus. Can I get an amen? Amen. And Jesus lets her know that, doesn't he? Let's read on. Verse 26. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him. Take note of those words. Kept asking him to cast the demon out of her. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first. So let me ask you this morning, church family, who are in fact the children? The Jews are the children. Right? Romans chapter 9, Romans chapter 10, the Bible says, were not the promises made to the Jews? aren't they the heirs of the covenant pact, rights and stipulations of that treaty with God? Did the Syrophoenicians have a covenant with God? Did they have a basis to approach God with? Nope. And yet this woman does not give up, but she keeps what? She keeps asking him. Keeps asking him. Keeps asking him. Jesus said, listen, the children need to be filled first. Notice what Jesus did not say. He did not say the children will only be fed. The children need to be fed first. Romans chapter 1 verse 17, but from heaven there comes a righteousness from faith to faith, a righteousness by faith, first to the Jew, secondarily to the Gentile. So the Jews, listen carefully, were the means by which God wanted to reach the Gentiles. Right? You want me to give you a lesson on the book of Romans? Romans 11, right? That through Israel's disobedience, God opened the door for the Gentiles to be saved. Right? Who among us is a Jew? Not me. How many of y'all are thankful you are Jews in Christ? Right? And though we're not Jews of the flesh, we are Gentiles that are saved by grace. Thank you. All right, so let's read on. So you can see this lady is up a creek. She has a desperate need, and she has no basis to approach Jesus with. For listen what Jesus said, for it is not good, oh my goodness, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Oh, what did Jesus call this woman? A little dog. Don't we have a couple of little dogs here, like SJ and, yeah, what's her name, Princess?
Sable.
I don't see I cannot picture a dog named Sable with a little tutu on it. Look, lift her up. Oh, you took it off. Okay. Okay. Let's move on, people. All right. Very important to note. There are two Greek words for the word dog in the New Testament. Two different Greek words. There's kunon. Kunon, what English word do we get from kunon? Canine? Who said cane?
I said
kunon. One in every crowd. Let's move on. Canine, and then kunarion. Kunarion is a little dog. Let me give you a scripture of the kunon. Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Do not give what is holy to the dogs. There, that word dogs is kunon, which means scavenger street dogs, wild dogs that are fending for themselves. These are savage dogs. But in Mark chapter 7, let's go back to that, please. He says, it is not right to give the bread to the little dogs. These are kunarion, little house pets. I'm going to pick on Terry a little bit since he's been trying to... Terry, what's your main pet peeve at the table when people are eating?
Telephones.
Let me help him. Don't you dislike your guest feeding your dog?
You don't feed my dogs.
What?
You don't feed my dogs.
Why is that? It makes them what?
Dog makes them big, and it also devalues me as the master.
The master chef, right?
Well, the master of the dogs.
So at your house, do not feed the dogs. Okay. So you like this account. So notice carefully, Jesus is saying, listen, we're not going to take what is meant for the children, the Jews, to eat, and it is not right to give it to these little house dogs. Notice, she's a witty woman. She is a witty woman. Throw it to little dogs. And she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. Don't you love that?
Amen.
You know, she could have, church family, listen, I'm going to keep it real. I received a beautiful, beautiful pastor appreciation card. That was so sweet. I won't say by whom, but it was, you know who you are and you're here. You are our good pastor, but once in a while, you're a good teacher, but once in a while, you say some very startling things. Don't you think that's a very polite way to say it, right, sweetheart? So anyway, where was I going with this now? She was saying, listen, I'll take the little crumbs. I'll take what falls down. I will not give up. Now, how many of y'all know that she could have been offended by what Jesus said? How many of us know that some of Jesus' sayings are or can be offensive? If you don't believe that, notice what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, that Jesus is a rock of offense and a stumbling block to the unbelievers. And if you think that this sweet Jesus, church family, is all about just rainbows and sunshines, listen, you have not read the Word of God. Because He will get in your grill and He will read your mail and He will call you to repent for issues. And put Him first place in your life and not second and not third, and then maybe down the road I'll think about that. Didn't we meet an interesting lady last night? She kept talking about how she was well versed in church and she grew up in church, but she was so cynical now about church. And she's like, oh, you ought to, we're like inviting her to our church. Oh, you ought to come to our church. Nah, I'm too backslidden. Isn't that what she said, Don? I'm too backslidden. And she's like, I can't be bothered. And I wanted to tell her, look, it's not about church. Where's Jesus in all this? Is that who offended you? Did Jesus offend you? You know, the way Jesus is portrayed nowadays, He doesn't offend anybody. What about those cats in John chapter 6? That huge following of other disciples other than the 12 that the Bible says they no longer follow Jesus because they were what? They were offended that He said, you must eat My flesh and drink My blood to have a part with Me. And they said, that's it. They interpreted it as cannibalism. Jesus was saying, listen, you've got to have Me in your life. You must place Me first. And that offended them, so they left. And then Jesus turns towards His own 12, who would agree with me that they were faithful to Him, all but one, right? And He says, do you guys want to follow them too? Sweet Jesus! Well, that doesn't fit my image of Jesus. Well, I'm glad you're here at church. You know, we have the Sissification of America. Yoo-hoo! You know, when I was in college, the most often quoted words when we heard a very convicting message were these: that convicts me. That convicts me. I don't hear those words in church anymore. What I hear in church now, that offends me. Well, listen, buddy, I don't know who died and made you boss, but Jesus is still Lord and His word is still supreme.
Amen.
And we can get in line and be blessed by Him, or we can cry, you know, foul, or, you know, I've been done wrong, or I can't believe they did this or they did that, because somebody said something that your poor little sensibilities were not strong enough to take, because you are a spiritual sissy.
Amen.
Oh, let's go on. Let's finish. How many are liking this message so far?
Amen.
Those amens were not strong enough. Did I offend y'all? Notice, Verse 28, and she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, yet even little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. Then, you know, I love Matthew's account. Matthew says that Jesus ignored her, and then she went to the disciples, and she just like a little poodle, yip, 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 yip. How many of y'all know that some of these small dogs, man, they have a lot of fight?
Yes, sir.
And they won't. They don't know when. They don't know when to shut up. Yoo-hoo. And the disciples went to Jesus. Matthew's account says and said, "Can you get her off our backs? We don't know what to do with her." And Jesus. That's when Jesus tells her, "Listen, this bread is for the children first." But this faith, church family, listen to her faith. How many people give up so easily in prayer? Well, I didn't hear anything from the Lord. That must mean that he's telling me no. Really? He's telling you no? How many times did you ask? Well, once. Isn't that all we're supposed to do? You know, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, in the original language, it reads like this. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. And it shall be given you. And you shall find, and the door will be open to you. We need to have a faith that embodies a dogged determination. Can I hear an amen in the house?
Amen.
Amen? All right, so listen. And verse 30, and when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. Matthew's account says that same hour that Jesus said, your daughter is well. She is healed. Okay, so some closing thoughts on this message. Listen, to have a dogged determination, church family, we must have an intimate relationship with God, don't we? We must be convinced that our Heavenly Father does want to give us good things. Number one. Right?
Amen.
James chapter 1, I believe it's verse 14. Verse 17, every good and every perfect gift comes from above, the Father of lights, in whom there is no change or shadow of turning, right? Every good and perfect gift comes from him, right? Did not Jesus say, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you good things? So can we stop maybe and stop thinking that maybe the problem is with God and start thinking maybe I'm not putting much effort into seeking God? Am I asking? Do I really seek the Lord for this? Am I serious with the Lord about this situation? And you know, and sometimes, church family, let me broach this subject because it gets a little sensitive when you come to prayer. I understand that there are times that you will pray and it seems like the heavens are as brass. And your prayers will bounce off, and it seems like they evaporate as they come off your mouth or lips. And sometimes, no matter how many times you pray and ask and pray and beg and plead, there doesn't seem to be an answer on this side of heaven. Who would agree with me on that?
Amen.
Listen, in those cases, the Lord's answer to you is, I give you myself. I give you myself. You might not have gotten what you wanted here on earth the way you wanted it, but God says, I will give you myself. You know, I think of a lot of people that whose prayers were not answered. How many people prayed that God would heal their loved ones of COVID and the loved ones went to heaven? That's tough. But how many of us know that God knows best? Father knows best. You know, there are answers to questions that only are in heaven, beyond the divide, so to speak, that are not here in this existence. Can I hear a witness, please?
Yes.
Right? And God says, listen, I give you myself. You don't need an answer now. My answer to you is me. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for this lesson. Help us, Lord, to have a dogged determination. Help us, Lord, to seek you, to truly set our hearts to seek you, to look for your hand, to look for your face. It matters, Lord, where we are confronted with problems, where we are confronted with needs. We ask for your mercy. We ask for your grace. We ask for your wisdom. Lord, sometimes the best answer we can get from you is simply to be wise in a particular situation, in a particular set of circumstances, and we ask for your wisdom, the path to take that is the right path to take when there are no other roadmaps, Lord, in our lives. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's nice to be here today. I have to say, this is an exciting day for me because this is probably the first time in 5 or 6 years that I've sung in public. I used to sing in public all the time. So I'm a bit nervous, but Nola graciously asked me to come, and she's been after me for a long, long time. And so I'm like, my friend Nola wants me to come and sing, and I think I will. Anyway, this next song, is entitled, Oh, What Love. Both for saving and for keeping power.